In Scrum, we have a product owner. It's an accountability. It's no longer a role, according to the 2020 Scrum Guide. There are different categories of product owner, going from scribe to proxy to business representative to sponsor to CEO of the product. A scribe is like a really poor waiter in a restaurant. They take your order, even though they know what you're ordering, you should not order. It's probably the worst thing on the menu, and the chef does a terrible job of that dish. A scribe just takes your order, regardless whether it's a good or a bad idea. They don't add any value. And a proxy is maybe someone who's like a waiter who's taking your order, but realizes that you're ordering the wrong thing, or it's not a really good thing to do, and in a very polite and diplomatic way, they might say, well, sir, you probably should look at this dish. We're recommending this as a special, blah, 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 da, 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 da. And they add more value. They still don't have any power. It's usual for a proxy type product owner to be a person who might be a very good person. I'm sure they're a very good person, but they don't have any power. The person with the power just couldn't be bothered doing product owner roles, so they're delegated to somebody else. And a lot of product owners are actually proxy product owners, quite sadly. Then there's business representative, which is slightly better than proxy. Some organizations, believe it or not, segregate IT from the business, or one department from another department. And in the case of an IT situation, the product owner who was a proxy working in IT because they couldn't get a representative from the business, well, now maybe they've been seconded into the business, or even better, someone from the business has decided or has been asked to be a product owner. And that person is in at least the right network to have more influence, but still doesn't have any budget. Then there's the sponsor, which is the person who actually has the budget for the product, including the total cost for the product, the whole life cycle, running the product or the service, and improving the product or the service. And then there's the CEO of the product, a person who can take risks, who can basically decide whatever they want to do in relation to the product, but they work in a very data-informed way. The best product owners I've ever worked with, I only had access to them maybe 10 minutes a day, sometimes only every second day. And the same for the developers in the team. And the reason that we were so effective is because when we asked the product owner questions, she knew the answers. She didn't have to, oh, I'll check with this person, oh, I'll check with that person, oh, I need to align with these, align with those. They just gave an answer. Sometimes they did still need to do alignment offline, but they managed that themselves, because the biggest job of a product owner is to connect with stakeholders and manage their expectations in relation to uncertainty, and basically say no to a lot of things and say you might get these things, and managing the uncertainty about maybe when those things might be delivered. That's the biggest job, really, for the product owner. What's our vision? Co-creating that vision, but maybe creating it and then making sure everyone's inspired. I like to co-create, but you don't have to as a product owner. And the product owner will continually update that vision, that direction of travel, that goal, in consultation with the stakeholders, the customers, and the end users. They'll meet the customers and the end users a lot to inform their decision-making. They'll walk the Gemba of value consumption. They'll really understand what's going on. They might even be mature enough to just witness what customers are doing without kind of asking them leading questions, you know, what do you think of this, what do you think of that? Maybe just seeing what the customer plays with. John Carter, when he spoke to me about his work at Bose, mentioned that they bought a music store in the city where they operated, and they just observed what people were buying, what were they picking up. And they didn't say, here's a shiny new product, here's something we've been innovating, I'm really excited about it. They just wanted to see if anybody would notice it. And that's how they innovated. They listened. And Indy Young would say, you deeply listen to your customers. So we have different categories of product owner. And most product owners in the world are either scribes are proxies. At best, they're representatives of the business, if you like. Aren't we all the business, or the organization if it's not a commercial organization? Most people in the world are in that situation, and when they come to me for a product owner training, they come with a couple of myths. One of them is that in the product owner class that we teach about product management, and we don't, but we do show some practices that are practiced in product management, but we don't delude people into thinking we're teaching them about product management. We just say, here's a window, here's a door, you need to find out more about this. A coping strategy, if you are a proxy or a scribe or even a business representative, become a developer on the team. We only have one product owner in Scrum for the entire product. The product typically being a vehicle through which we deliver value, but it's essentially what an external customer would buy with their money, their time, or their data. Somebody consumes the product or service and somebody produces it. So if you have a product, a real product, and you have multiple teams working on that product, we just have one product owner. And what I see typically is we got people acting as team product owners. And when you're a team product owner, what tends to happen is you tend to look after your part of the backlog. And even if it's all big one list, actually you just look at one filter of it. So implicitly you've got a separate backlog. So I might not even see what's more valuable on Vanessa's backlog. And everybody would know that what Vanessa is working on is much more valuable. But because I've just my own little filter of the world, being a team product owner, I just do what my team does instead of doing what's most valuable for the company and learning how to deliver what's most valuable for the company. So team product owners growing like flowers, it's a typical anti-pattern in companies. And in Scrum, there's only one product owner. The product owner owns the product. And if I was just to do a very quick comparison with product management here, we're going to do another episode on this to go into more detail. A real product owner is very similar to a product leader in product management. It's okay to have a product manager per team because a product manager doesn't necessarily own the product, although context is king and all that. If you've got one team, it might be the same person. But in a multi-team context, which is a situation for most products, yeah, you can have a product manager working per team, and the real product owner, looking after the product, is the equivalent of a product leader in product management. But we're going to talk more about that in another episode, because product managers, product leaders do much more than what we do in product ownership. Thank you.